Welcome to the Let's Talk Dairy podcast, featuring enlightening interviews with leaders and experts within the dairy processing industry. I'm Kathy Canning, Editor-in-Chief of Dairy Foods. Today I'm excited to welcome Barb O'Brien, President and CEO of Dairy Management Inc., or DMI, and President and CEO of the Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy. Before replacing longtime DMI CEO Tom Gallagher last October, Barbara had been DMI President and President and CEO of the Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy. Barb has more than 20 years of experience working on behalf of America's 31,000 dairy farmers and dairy importers and delivering results globally, nationally, and locally. As President and CEO of DMI, the domestic dairy checkoff program that drives trust and sales of dairy products, she oversees the work of the National Dairy Council, the U.S. Dairy Export Council, and Gen Youth Foundation, which raises funds and resources to support youth wellness programming, most notably through its flagship in-school program, Fuel Up to Play 60. And as President and CEO of the Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy, a pre-competitive forum that advances collaboration among dairy companies, farmers, and others in the dairy community to help ensure a socially responsible and economically viable industry in the future, Barb has brought together the leadership of 27 dairy companies and organizations to advance pre-competitive efforts and action within key areas such as animal welfare, environmental sustainability, hunger, and community impact. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you, Kathy. So appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Barb, you've been in your new role for almost 5 months now. What ongoing projects are you most excited about and why?
You know, Kathy, it's been somewhat of a whirlwind, as you can imagine. I've spent the last 120 days on a listening tour of sorts, first and foremost with my farmer funders, to understand what's on their mind, but also to reach beyond the farmer community into the processing industry, to gain their insights and direction on where we should take the checkoff as part of a next opportunity. You know, I've had the chance to meet with the CEOs of National Milk, IDFA, ADPI, MilkPEP, as well as the processing community, Schreiber and Sargento and HP Hood, Cabot and Hillmar and Great Lakes. It's just been a privilege to have those discussions and to hear, you know, to hear and understand the industry and where we are today through their eyes. You know, importantly, it's now about taking listening to action. And I would share with you all that, you know, I'm pleased to say there's incredible alignment between the priorities that I've identified for the dairy checkoff and the priorities of the industry. Health and wellness, sustainability, innovation and technology, reputation and workforce. These are all sort of the common pillars or underpinnings of what the industry needs to grow and be prosperous in the future. So, you know, it's been a great 5 months, but now the real work begins as we take these priority areas to a next level of capability on behalf of dairy farmers, first and foremost, but also I see these areas as strengths of the checkoff and believe that we can serve as a knowledge engine for processors and manufacturers, the other dairy organizations, customers, and others in the chain. So more to come on that front.
Terrific. Which of these projects have the potential to make a direct positive impact on dairy processors and why?
You know, I would say they all do, but as I think about some of the bold moves that we're making as DMI, and importantly, it's with the support of the DMI board, there are a couple of new areas in science and research and development that to me, the processors will be front and center in terms of understanding and activating. They're really about transformational discoveries that present U.S. dairy with new sort of market moving opportunities. So let me tell you about two of them. The first one, and importantly, they're both areas where the farmers have said, let's double down. Let's double down in terms of our focus and our investments. So that first area is called metabolomics. And that is really the study of milk at the molecular level. And it is all about discovering future health and wellness benefits and claims for dairy products, dairy ingredients, and ultimately some of these amazing molecules in milk. You know, given consumers' growing interest in food as medicine and precision nutrition, we see this as a long-term science commitment that's going to give us the data and the analytics that we need to really play in this space. So that's the first area, Kathy. The second one is more of a research and development project, and it involves a new technology, relatively new technology, called microencapsulation. And this is about a technology that can help us deliver concentrated dairy ingredients and nutrients in all of our products. It's a technology that's used to protect shelf life, to enhance flavor, to improve quality, to enable fortification, to enhance bioavailability of certain molecules or ingredients through this very unique delivery system. So we are in sort of the early stage of the research work, but I truly believe that when we get to the point of commercialization, it is something that will benefit claims, messaging, new product development, and importantly, you know, consumers' desires for new and exciting opportunities through dairy foods and beverages. So it's a pretty significant, or both are pretty significant endeavors.
Yeah, sounds exciting. What are some of the most significant challenges you face in your new role, and what will be key to overcoming those challenges?
Well, that's such a question. That's such a great question, and one that I'm going to turn on its head because, you know, I've got a mindset where any challenge, we've got to find the opportunity. So as I thought about this question, Kathy, you know, I talk about consumers today. You know, we're coming through this pandemic, a global pandemic, and a shift in consumer mindset to a certain extent, particularly among millennials and maybe more significantly that next Gen Z generation, who are looking at wellness, looking at food and beverage, in a much more comprehensive way. You know, it's all about good for me and my family, good for my community, good for the earth, right? It's a bundle of expectations that they're placing on the food and beverages that they eat. And again, I don't want to see it as a challenge. I see it as an enormous opportunity for dairy. And I think we are uniquely positioned to satisfy the expectations of those consumers. You know, DMI, as well as the broader category, we need to stop playing defense and really lean in and assert the leadership role we have played in sustainably feeding people here in the US and the growing global population. Opportunity is ours to seize that. You know, I think you know that, you know this, and you certainly have covered the work of the industry, but you know, I'll just remind you, US farmers and processors have amazing stories to tell, you know, about the unmatched nutrition and health benefits of our products and the sustainable practices that are happening on farms and plants across the country. You know, over the last 10 years, you talked about my role in the Innovation Center. It has been a privilege. We run something called the U.S. Dairy Sustainability Awards Program, and we have seen dozens and dozens of farms of all sizes and processing operations bring forward these incredible stories of stewardship. You know, it's farmers talking about the work they're doing in the fields with no-till and cover crops, combined with manure handling and nutrient management technology that ultimately reduce runoff, it improves soil health, It ensures water quality. You know, there's energy efficiencies that we see on farm and in plants. You know, I look at a story like Leprino, and I'm sure you've covered this as well, Kathy. What they have invested in terms of projects to improve their environmental performance, greenhouse gas, conserving and producing electricity, improving water quality and quantity based on what we know are increasingly limited resources. It's astounding what they've done. And importantly, all of these awards are replicable, right? They're business cases that can be shared with others across the industry. So, you know, that perceived problem or expectation of consumers, in fact, is our opportunity to step in as a solution with consistent, compelling proof of the good work we're doing as a U.S. industry.
Terrific. I thought you could talk a little bit about the dairy industry overall. As the move toward plant-based products continues, what will the industry need to do to keep consumers loyal to dairy products?
I would say we can look at that plant-based movement as another challenge. But again, I think it's an opportunity for us, something that can inspire us and motivate us to do more in the innovation space. And I want to, you know, again, I think you know this better than most, Kathy. Dairy is strong as a category. We are strong. And, you know, I will look to USDA's per capita report as sort of our overall measure of continued growth. I think most recent data that we have is 2020 for per capita consumption, and it's at an all-time high at 655 pounds per person. That's 3 pounds above 2019. That's 11 pounds above 2018. So, you know, the trajectory continues to go in the right direction. You know, it's how consumers choose to take in their dairy products that's different. But overall, you know, milk is kind of on the tip of the spear, right, in terms of the challenge of plant-based. And even milk is still a powerhouse. You know, I looked at some data before today's discussion, and 92% of U.S. households are still purchasing milk. That's 116 million households. And even those households that are buying plant-based alternatives, 92% of them also have milk in the house. So they're dual users, which is an interesting dynamic, right? It's not an either or, it's a both. And I will often say to people, you know, plant and animal are interdependent categories. The key to success is innovation, right? I think that's what we see happening on the plant front, is this incredible investment in packaging and marketing and new product, you know, and that's what that millennial and Gen Z consumer is looking for. They want experimentation. They want new. So, you know, I will just share that that dairy is doing their fair share of innovation as well, as these consumers are looking for holistic lifestyle products. You know, I'm excited to say that the value-added segments of milk are growing. You know, where we see the declines are in sort of the conventional at-home gallon and half gallon, though whole milk is doing well, as we all know. But those value-added segments are, in fact, bigger than plant-based today. It's the difference of 443 million pounds for value-added milks versus 375 million pounds for plant. So they're pretty close, but, you know, we're doing what we need to in terms of innovation in the dairy sector. Lactose-free, value-added enhancements, flavors, new packaging and delivery systems. I think they're all playing a role in sort of reinventing that milk experience for consumers looking for different and for out-of-home products. So more to come on that front for sure.
Yeah, certainly a lot of innovation out there. Is there anything else, Barb, that you'd like our dairy processor audience to know?
You know, one area I haven't touched on is marketing. And I think processors, the checkoff programs, Milk Pep, we would all observe that this is sort of an ever-evolving space. Marketing and media continue to evolve, particularly given what's happening with social and digital media. But it's been an important area of our focus, particularly coming through the pandemic, as we've seen consumer behaviors shift to online purchasing. So this past fall, Kathy, we did a pilot with Kroger that really thrilled with some of the early results. For every dollar we spent in online advertising and content, we saw an $8 return in dairy purchases. So we've come back on strong last month through the end of this month with a program, a digital advertising program with Kroger. And we're also going to extend that to Amazon, and we're looking for other partners, both retail partners as well as processor partners, to continue to drive dairy's presence. Because we know if we're reminding consumers online about that dairy purchase, they're pulling it through. It's resulting in an end purchase. So excited about that. You know, let me, if I could, let me end where I started. And that's really about listening. And this is sort of maybe a leadership philosophy that I have. Importantly, leadership is about listening. It's about meeting people where they are. But to be clear, it's not a passive exercise. It's about listening, taking in insights, understanding others, and driving action. You know, action that ultimately will result in, you know, outcomes for farmers, but for industry more broadly. You know, since joining dairy 20 years ago, I've always heard this philosophy that someone has to lose in order for someone else to win. And it's not a philosophy I love, right? Because it suggests that farmers and processors are somehow on opposite sides of a proposition. You know, I firmly believe we need to be on the same side of the proposition, that we need to work together and be aligned to address this growing competitive threat to dairy that we know is only getting more intense. So the good news is, you know, farmers' priorities and industry's priorities are as aligned as I have ever seen them in the last 20 years. And, you know, I believe with the right structures and the right collaborative approach to marketplace insights, to innovation, to other investments, we truly can create a win-win. So I'm excited about today's interview, but also about the opportunity I'm being given through the Dairy Checkoff to work toward that win-win.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Barb, for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Kathy, and you know, have a great day.